It's really a delight to be with you today, and I'm very excited about how the church is progressing and the successes that you're having and new people coming. And when you succeed, we succeed, and any friend of Christ is a friend of mine. Pastor Dave, when you were telling that story about the Honda and you sitting in the back, I was thinking to myself, I don't remember the story, but I believe you, but I hope I wasn't driving when I was reading from that, so especially since it has a stick in that particular car. But there's plenty of the things that we remember. I remember coming back from your wedding, and I'm at the intersection of 79 and the Turnpike in Pennsylvania, and I hit a deer at 11:30 at night on a six-lane highway, clipped my mirror. Fortunately, there was some fur there, so I got, yeah, but just the funny things that we remember about life and all that is involved in getting to know people. You gave me a lot of credit, but you actually have so many gifts and talents, and I can see how God's used you through all these years. And to God be the glory for what he's done for you and bringing you together with this great congregation. Well, I would like to speak to you today about the Spirit's control of our lives. There's an insert. Did you get it? Or a handout? Do you have that? One person does. Two, three. Does anybody need one? That's a better way to ask it. Way in the back. It's also on the app, yes. So you can follow along there, and I hope that that's a help to you. You wouldn't need the piece of paper in your hands except what's on the back. At the end of the message, I want to talk about that. So keep that in mind. And well, it's surprising how little some believers do for God when it comes to their relationship with him. And I don't know why that always is. It could be. It reminds me of the story of the business. It's a facetious story. But in the story, the report is that some people had been dying on the job. And so the management sent out a memo telling everybody, okay, it's been reported that people are dying on the job, and this must stop. It is too hard for management to tell the difference between those who have died and those who are still working. I'm glad you laughed at that. If you've just lost someone recently, I don't mean any disrespect to you, but isn't that the case that it's sometimes hard to tell the difference between believers in Christ and unbelievers? Isn't that a sad state of affairs? Why is that? It might be because the believers in Christ don't know what they ought to be doing to live their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be ignorance on their part. Maybe they haven't learned much about the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and maybe they just need to be discipled. It could be because they're living in disobedience. They know what God wants them to do, but they just choose to do something different. And the truth of the matter is, for most of us, we are, I'll borrow a phrase, educated beyond our level of obedience. We don't even do all the things that we know that we're supposed to do or that we could do for the Lord Jesus. And so sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. But it might very well be that these particular believers have never learned what it means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And I want you to know today that if you're going to do what God wants you to do, you've got to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know if there's a little clicker or anything like that to advance the slides. Yeah, great. And so in order to do what God wants you to do, you've got to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about it from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, primarily from verse 18. And so you can open your Bible, use your gadget, whatever you prefer. And we're going to talk about some aspects of that. And I also want to talk about some dynamics that are involved in when the Spirit of God is in control of our lives. So when I think about Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, the Bible begins by telling us, and your version may word it just slightly different than the way I'm describing it, but you get the idea. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 15, that we should be very careful how we live or how we walk, and not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the opportunity, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, we're not to be unwise, but to understand what the will of the Lord is. And in light of that will, God wants us to not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we will sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. We will be giving thanks always in all things to God the Father. And we will be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, thinking about this passage, keying in on verse 18, where the Bible tells us, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. I think that's a missing ingredient in the lives of many believers today. They haven't learned what it means to have the Spirit of God take control of them. And speaking about this, I'm not saying that someone needs more of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the better way to say it is the Holy Spirit needs more of us. And there's a surrender that's involved in this process, and we'll talk a little more about that in just a moment. But let's think about these verses of Scripture. So the Bible is describing how we live. It's talking about the will of God. It's interesting that verse 18 is part of the description of that will, because there are a number of places in the Bible where the will of God is referred to specifically. On your sheet today, you'll notice, on your app, you'll notice that there's a reference to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the Bible talks about offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. And this is reasonable on our part. It's a form of worship on our part. And it helps us to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another place in Scripture where it talks about the will of God, this is especially helpful for young people when they're trying to think through their own code of living and how they should, their own morality and so forth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that demonstration of us being set apart to Him. And I would commend that verse to any of you who are trying to navigate life and morality and how we live. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. Another reference to the will of God is found when you think about God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another reference to the will of God comes to us from Peter's writings, where he says, if you suffer, if the will of God be so, and there may be suffering on our part. Another reference is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where it says, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, if we just did those things, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? To live out our faith and our relationship with Christ. But coming back then to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the will of God, that you and I be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, in that day, there was the worship of a god named Bacchus. Dionysus is another name, depending upon whether you look at it from Roman or Greek sources. And Bacchus was the god of wine and fertility. And so in the worship of their god, they would be consumed, enumerated. They just get drunk, it would appear, from wine, so that they could reach an altered state. They could think differently. They could express themselves differently. And you can imagine what would happen in such a state. Their relationships with each other would be raucous and on and on. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God. There's a different kind of control that we need. And yes, that control of the Spirit of God may change the way we think. I hope it does, because sometimes I don't think the way I ought to think, and sometimes you probably don't either. And it changes the way we live and how we act. Not in a raucous way, but in a way that brings glory to God and demonstrates to others that we belong to the Lord Jesus. You see, it's not always easy to live this Christian life, is it? If you're here today and you're not a believer in Christ, you're going to come to a point at some time where you will say, you know, I realize I can't save myself. And so I need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want Him to save my soul. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saves us. So you come to that point where you say, I need a Savior. And you place your trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. You might be there today. Maybe the most important thing that I say to you today are those words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This message is not about salvation, but it involves those who have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. But if you need a Savior, Jesus is the only one who can save you. You can't save yourself. You got to come to that place where you realize, I can't save myself. For those of us who are believers in Christ, we have to come to a place where we say, I can't live the Christian life in my own strength. I need a power and an enabling beyond myself. That's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, as He comes to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And the presence of the Holy Spirit, demonstrated by the control of the Spirit in our lives, we can display the fruit of the Spirit. We can display, as it says in verse 19, worship to God. And we can display in verse 20, gratitude to God. We can display in verse 21, this desire on our part to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, all this involves the work of the Holy Spirit doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. Did you notice the other reference on your app or on the bottom of the page that you have? It's a reference to Romans 8, verse 2. And the Bible tells us there that the Spirit of... Well, it starts with verse 1. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You wonder what that means. It's the thing that's missing in some people's lives when it comes to living out their faith. They just don't have the power to do it. Well, they do, but they don't know that they do, and they don't know how to access that power. When I think of that reference in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You ever traveled in an airplane? Most of us have. And you're in this big, heavy object full of people, full of stuff, and you wonder, how in the world is this thing ever going to get up in the air? But after a while, it will begin to lumber down the runway, and the law of gravity that is holding it down is going to be overcome by the law of aerodynamics, and as that plane takes off, one law overcomes another law. It's true in our lives as well. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the control of the Holy Spirit, is what enables us to overcome sin in our lives. So how does it happen? What are the dynamics that are involved in this? If you and I want to be doing what God wants us to do, we need to understand that His will involves His purpose and plan for our lives. Do you notice what it said back in verse 15? Don't be, be careful how you live. Verse 17, not as unwise, but and knowing the will of God, so that you and I can do what God wants us to do. It involves his purpose and plan for our lives. God's got a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for you. Well, we could actually say, well, God's got a plan, and we should try to find a part in it. But it does involve us, and he wants to use us in his plan. I remember when, a few years ago, my wife and my daughter and I, we took a trip to London. And normally, when we travel abroad, I have an idea of what we're going to do. At least I've got it spelled out. But our daughter, Crystal, had made the plan. So I said to her a few days before we left, Crystal, are you sure you got this all worked out? And she goes upstairs to her room, comes back down with this manila folder about an inch thick. It's got all of our passes, all of our tickets, all of our entry fees, all the places that we're going to go for 2 weeks. And we had gone from London through the tunnel to France, Belgium, Amsterdam, saw Corrie ten Boom's house and Anne Frank's house and the tulips, and flew to Edinburgh and saw things there and had our feet wet in Loch Ness and came back to London. But she'd planned it all. It's really nice. I didn't have to figure out anything for us to do. And she had already planned out where we were going to stay, what we were going to do. It's nice to have somebody work out a plan, isn't it? God's got a plan for your life. And if for you and I to do what God wants us to do, we need to understand the will of God involves his purpose and his plan for our lives. But to accomplish that purpose and plan, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I say the word filled, just think of the word controlled, controlled by him. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to allow the Spirit of God who's present, who's resident in our lives, to become president over our lives, to preside over us and to determine what it is we live and how we live and what we are to do. And so that's what he's talking about. I came across a word not long ago called fillability. Fillability. Do you know the only state in the United States where you can't pump your own gas? New Jersey. To some extent in Oregon, you can't pump your own gas, but they're passing laws that county by county, they can make those kinds of decisions. But in New Jersey, you can't pump your own gas. And so you go and somebody else has to pump it. But in order for your car to be filled, what do you need? There has to be a need, and there has to be a desire. You have to look at that gas gauge and say, you know what, I've got a need for some gas. If I go too long, we're going to be on fumes, and we might not be going at all. There has to be a need. And you have to want somebody to fill your car up. You could say, oh, no, I'm just going to skip it. I'm going to go the next one, or I'm going to go the next place. Gas would be cheaper anyway. And so the need and the desire. You see, being filled with the Spirit of God's like that. There has to be a need. And when you and I realize we can't live this life for Jesus in our own strength and our own ability, there's a need. But there also has to be a desire on our part for God to take control of our lives, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And in order to be filled with the Spirit of God, you have to surrender control to God. You have to surrender control to God. One time I came to our church in Greensburg, and it was such a strange situation. In some of the rooms, the plugs worked, but the overhead lights didn't. And in other rooms, the overhead lights worked, and the plugs didn't. Now, I'm not an electrical engineer or anything like that. I thought, if the electricity's on, they should all be working. And why was it working in some and not in others? And some of you, you've already got it figured out. You know that in a bigger building like that, there are phases. I think it was a three-phase building. And there was something wrong with one or two of the phases, and the electrical company had to come and do their part, you know, to reestablish the flow of electricity. But it was just strange to me for that to happen. And it seems like to me sometimes we're living in a limited capacity of our own strength because we haven't learned what it means to be controlled by the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. And so we need to learn to surrender to Him. Now, what's involved in that surrender? That's where I wanted you to have the backside of this insert or on your app where you can sign it. And I want you to look at that consent form that's on the back of or in your app and think about a consent form. Don't sign it yet because when I get done, you may not want to sign it. You say, I thought the whole point of this was that you and I would learn to allow the Spirit of God to take control of our lives. And so, yeah, of course we would want to sign it, but in order to sign it, we have to surrender. And in order to surrender, we need to know and understand what we're surrendering to. You ever had a medical procedure and you had to sign the consent form to allow for treatment? And on that form, there are all kinds of details. And you, if you read all the fine print, you'd probably say, maybe what I've got is not as bad as what might happen to me if they work on me. Well, some of you would say, you know what, doc, I don't need to sign some dumb form. You just do whatever needs to be done, and it's okay with me. And you're still going to have to sign it. They're going to cover themselves to in case something did happen. But this consent form that you're looking at doesn't have any fine print in it. I wonder if you would be willing to sign a form like this and allow God to write in all the details whenever He wants to write them in, all the fine print in your life. You see, your understanding of what it means to surrender is demonstrated by your willingness to sign this form, or your willingness to sign this form says, I'm willing to surrender everything to God. Now, what if God tells you there's something He wants you to do with your money? What if God tells one of your children or your grandchildren, I want you to serve me in a place across the ocean? What if God says, I want to enable you and empower you and use you in ways you've never been used before? You see, one of the problems that we have with yielding and surrendering control to God is we're kind of controlled by our own desire to be in control. We're controlled by our need to control. We want to manage everything. We want to manage our money. We want to manage our situation. We want to take care of all the people at work and tell them what to do. And we're not even the boss. And on and on. We've got this thing about control. And we have to learn to surrender control to the Spirit of God. What if the Holy Spirit of God wants to manifest Himself in your life in a way other than worshiping and giving thanks and submitting to one another or the fruit of the Spirit? What if He wanted to manifest Himself in your life in some way? Would you be willing to let Him do that? You see, yielding and surrendering control to God's a big thing, but it is the secret of understanding what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. When you think about it, though, yielding control to God is one of the greatest ways that we can experience the freedom to God. There's no freedom like the freedom of being controlled by the Spirit of God. If I mention a guy named Roger from Butler, had a secondhand appliance store, you know exactly who I'm referring to. And we had an old freezer in a shed behind our place when we lived in Butler. And it had been sitting there for a couple of years, you know, dead of winter, hot of heat of summer. And this little upright freezer. And I was concerned that if you turned it on and it had lost its refrigerant, that maybe somehow the motor would burn up or, malfunction. And so I said to Roger, who was had secondhand appliance store, I said, Roger, how do you know if your freezer is going to work? And he said, plug it in. So I plugged it in, and it worked. And we're still using it to this day. Maybe it's time for you to plug in. Yielding control of the Holy Spirit is not a matter of signing a form. Signing this form is just a way of helping you to know, am I willing to let the Holy Spirit take control of my life? Am I willing to let Him be the one who decides for me about my future, about my morality, about my money, about where I live and what I do? You see, your willingness to sign it is an indication of your willingness to yield. But isn't it about time that we simply plugged in to the control of the Holy Spirit, where we offer our body as a living sacrifice to God, where we yield ourselves to Him? We say, Holy Spirit, I want You to take complete control of my life. I want You to help me live this life that I can't live within my own strength. I need Your strength. I need Your help. And allow the Spirit of God to take control of you. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, Lord, may Your Spirit take complete control of me? It might be a prayer that you pray more than once. It might be a prayer that you pray more than once a day. Now, there are some days I've asked the Lord 15 or 20 times for the Spirit of God to take control of me. On the way over here, we were asking the Holy Spirit to take control. But it's the secret of living our lives in a way that glorifies God. And it's different from those who are around us. Are you willing to plug in?